So last time we had begun this essay of Reb Chaim Friedlander, is looking at trying to understand the connection between Shabbos and the Mishkan, which again the last major mention of Shabbos in Chumash Shemos, the fourth major mention of Shabbos in Chumash Shemos at the beginning of Vayakhel, before Moshe Rabbeinu begins to teach the Jewish people at length about how to make a Mishkan and how to fabricate Big Day Kahuna, begins Vayakhel with a brief statement, restatement of Hilchos Shabbos. Brief, but very, very significant. Because all of the halachos, the bread and butter, the meat and potatoes, I should say, you know, they'll move from Milchus of Fleshiks. The meat and potatoes of Hilchos Shabbos, the Lamatas Malachas, all derive, this looks like a very brief mention of Shabbos, the first two, three psukim by Yakel, but this is where most of Hilchos Shabbos comes from. How do you know, the Torah tells us you can't do Malacha on Shabbos, but what constitutes Malacha? The great mystery when you learn about Shabbos and Chumash, what exactly is Malacha? So the answer the Gemara derives from here. Whatever they did in the steps, the sort of processes that they used in making the Mishkan, those are the processes that one cannot do on Shabbos. If there was planting involved in making the Mishkan, so then Zoreya is one of the Malachas of Shabbos. If there was plowing, so that's a Malacha of Shabbos, right? If there was writing, if there was fire making, if there was tanning leather, whatever they did in making the Mishkan, the 39 major processes involved in making Mishkan, those become the paradigms for what you cannot do on Shabbos. So, the first question which he had opened was, well, why? What is that supposed to mean? What underpins this connection between Shabbos and Mishkan? It's presumably more than just a convenient way of formulating a list of 39. There's something essential going on. What's that essential connection? And that question of trying to understand the connection between Shabbos and Mishkan, I think, takes a new poignancy tonight. Tonight is Shavuos Batamas. Tonight is the beginning of the 3 weeks. The beginning of, as Reb Chaim Friedlander develops earlier in this volume, in one of his essays on Avelos Yerushalayim, points out the Gemara in Bavit Tzias says that in general, unless one's an unusual tzaddik, a typical Jew is not going to be sensitive enough to feel what we're missing by not having a Beis HaMikdash all year long. Yet, beginning tonight, every Jew can access that. There is meaningfulness to Avelos Yerushalayim over the course of the 3 weeks. Because apparently this is a time of heightened spiritual sensitivity, ironically. It's a time we feel distant, but distant because our antenna are sharpened. We have better reception. So we'll notice if, so to speak, the Mikdash isn't broadcasting. We notice what we're missing because we're more attuned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the segula, that's the spiritual potential of the 3 weeks that begin tonight. To be more sensitive to what Mikdash could offer us and what it is that we're missing by not having a Mikdash. So we're looking now not only for clues in the beginning of Vayakhel to appreciate what do we learn about Shabbos from the fact that it's connected to Mishkan, but also what do we learn about the Mishkan and the fact that it's the paradigm for Shabbos. So how do you understand that? So that is, he had opened with several questions, but that was the first one, is to understand the Shabbos Mishkan connection, and again, it has even greater relevance beginning tonight. And last time we saw, he introduced a third concept onto the table. In addition to Shabbos and Mishkan, he said, let's go back to the very beginning, and let's go back to talk a little bit about the Eitz Hadas. At first seems like a sort of Avila field. And we had left off last time, I had shared with you, I believe, an idea of the Rambam, the Mor Nevuchim, in the second chapter of Mor Nevuchim, to appreciate what's wrong, what was wrong with Das Tov Vara. It seems like a marvelous thing to have moral knowledge, to know what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's evil, that's a great thing. Why is that something that Kadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe to, he told Adam HaRishon and Chava to avoid? So the Rambam says, Das Tov Hara is a lower level of moral clarity, because the greatest level of moral clarity, we to see it as Emes and Sheker. That's the Rambam develops, that before eating of the Eitz Hadas, it was, you know, something that was evil wasn't just bad, it was wrong. It was as clearly false as 2 plus 2 equals 5. There was such, that's what the Rambam says in the Mora, that pre-Eitz Hadas, Adam and Chava had such intense moral clarity, it was Emes and Sheker. Eitz Hadas notched them down, so it was no longer so self-evident that this is right and that's wrong. This is good and that's bad. It represented a sort of a little bit of a moral clouding. That's how the Rambam puts it. Now the Sifsei Chaim here, Chaim Friedlander, quotes along similar lines, though not exactly the same. He quotes from the Nefesh HaChaim, also there was a clouding that went on. Quotes from the Nefesh HaChaim, he quotes from Ramchal and Das Tavunos. He says, the clouding that went on was an intermingling of good and bad. Let's begin with the top page, Tav Ches, and we'll with the Nefesh HaChaim, and we'll jump back a little bit to the Das Tavunos. We'll see how he develops the idea of Eitz Hadas, and then we'll see what light that begins to shed on Shabbos and Mishkan, the first two concepts. So here it goes to Nefesh HaChaim in Shar Aleph. Achar achet nichlulu v'nis arvubo gam kochos hatumah v'hara. After the chet, there was a connection of good and evil. Eitz Hadas Tov Hara, das means nischabru, v'nis arvu besocho. The Tov and Ra were connected. He says, after all, yediya sometimes means hischabrus. To know an idea is to be connected to it. Vayeda ha'adam eschava ishto, also in Parshas Bereishis, is understood to mean intimate connection. So yediya can sometimes mean connection. The Nefesh HaChaim suggests that Tov Ra, what happened when Adam ate of the Eitz Hadas Tov Ra, is the Tov Ra became more intertwined, more intermingled. Tov Ra would be Deveikim Yachad, Kosher LaHafridam. Now it's harder to pick apart. You need to do Meleches Boer to tease apart the good and bad. It led to an Irbuvia. Things are confusing, things are intermingled. Sometimes it's hard to know what's right and what's wrong. And even a good action will often have negative parts to it. That's the legacy of the Eitz Hadas Tov Ra. Practically speaking, good and bad are intermingled. Let's jump back to page Tav Zayin, where he quotes the Ramchal in his Sefer Das Tavunos, which is a Hashkafic work that Ramchal cast as a conversation between the Neshama and the Seichel. Very fascinating. The soul and the intellect. A very interesting Sefer. See, here he quotes, here in the middle of page Tav Zayin, he quotes from the Das Tavunos, what was it like Kodem Eitz Hadas? Eitzel Adam Arishon Kodem Achet, how you call it in Yanov Gam in Yanei HaGuv Kodesh Kadashim. Everything was holy. Spiritual pursuits, physical pursuits, everything was holy. B'chol Pu'ula Sha'asa Lo Haise His Arvus Shal Magama Acheres, Zula Asiyah V'os Hashem. Every action was motivated entirely L'Shem Shamayim. And that's why Lo Yisbo Shashu. There was no shame in Adam and Chava being unclothed before they ate the Eitz Hadas. Why? Akalei Bechinas Kodesh. Lo Hayu Makom L'Bushu. There's no reason to be embarrassed, because he makes a very fascinating point. He quotes from his Rebbe of Dessler, the Chaim Friedlander's Rebbe of Dessler. Hargashas Busha Bala Acher Shemargishim Stira Bein Hayediyah Keitzah Tzarech Lios. Fascinating side point. He says shame, embarrassment, comes when you is driven by a recognition of a divide between the ideal and the real. When you recognize what ought to be and what is, the ideal and the real, that they're not the same, that's when you feel embarrassment. That's when you feel busha. If you go, Hayodeya Shasu Lignov, if I know that it's wrong to be dishonest, I know that it's wrong to steal. V'nichshal. Rachman Atzlan, I fell in, I gave into temptation, I took what's not mine. I held on to what's not mine. I embezzled. Something was I did something dishonest, something less than the ideal of integrity. When I know that what I did is wrong, hastira v'habusha yeshna gamim lo nispas. I'll be embarrassed when I'm caught, but I'll be embarrassed even when I'm not caught. Because if I know that what I did is wrong, deep down I know that's wrong, I feel that stir, I feel that internal contradiction. I recognize that there's a contradiction between what my ideals are and what my reality is. That generates busha. Adam and Chav, with that, and it's a fascinating idea in its own right. And he says, if that's the case, so Adam and Chava did not feel busha, v'lo yisbo shashu, because there was no divide between ideal and real. Adam Rishon Kodem Achet Haya Kol L'Shem Shamayim. He was entirely L'Shem Shamayim. Every activity was in line. Every action, whether overtly spiritual or physical, the physical activities were also spiritual. Everything was a chelik of Avos Hashem, so there was no reason to be embarrassed. Everything was in place. So he says, with that in mind, that image, that construct, that the ideal reality, Kodem Chet Eitz Hadas, was that everything was being done, everything was being properly motivated. Everything was Kodesh Kadashim. Says, L'achar Chet Chal Shinui Mahuti. There was a very fundamental shift. The pivot, L'achar Chet HaKedusha Nafal L'Klipas. Kedusha fell into, using the Kabbalistic terminology, fell into the Klipas, into the peels. What does that mean to the shells? What does that mean? Kolomar Yesh Kar Taruves. Now there's a mixture. Good and evil are blended together, like a kernel of wheat that's mixed with chaff. So there's a blend of the edible and the inedible. You need all of these steps of zorah and borer and tochin and so on and so forth to actually get something usable, to remove all the junk that's mixed in. You know, it's a difference between when you go to the store to buy pistachios, you can get pistachios in shell, or you can get the pistachio meats. Those are becoming increasingly popular, I see, that people are becoming increasingly lazy. Now, you just want to have, right, it's all done. You just open the bag, you just take a handful, you just jam them in your mouth, right? Maybe it's not from a caloric standpoint, it's not so good. You know, you can eat pistachios very quickly if you don't have to shell them. Right, but leaving aside the dietary angle, right, the pistachio meats, that was Adam Kodem Achet. It was pure goodness. Klipos, literally shells, but it's a metaphor. But here's that metaphor, right? If you have a bag of pistachios and shells, so that bag is a mix of edible and inedible, and you can't just take a handful of pistachios and shells and throw them in your mouth. That's going to be very uncomfortable. So you need to first do the work of popping open each one, taking the edible piece out of the shell, and then you can put it in your mouth. That was the change. That's why we call them klipos. That's the metaphor. The kedusha was nafla beklipos. Is an intermingling of good and evil. And the good is not always accessible. I have to peel away the shell, I have to remove the shell to get at the meat, to get at the nut, to get at the pistachio. But to get the spiritual pistachio. He says, you know, l'achar achet, sometimes I'm enjoying something l'shem shamayim, and sometimes I'm enjoying something shelo l'shem shamayim. That irbuvia was notzra achar achet. That's what shifted. Again, and that's why he goes on to quote from as we saw before, that's das tovara. The etz das tovara, das means his chabros. It means that the good and bad, it was what the etz das did is it connected, it adhered, it intermingled the good and the bad. Things were no longer so clear. How do you mean, Arye? Right. And you're actually, so I think, I like what you're saying about bringing in the notion of moral relativism versus moral absolutism. And that sort of brings back the Rambam's point also. It shows like the loss of moral clarity, the fogging over of a sharp moral clarity. So the Rambam is focused on sort of the clarity, human clarity versus lack of clarity. And the Ramchal and Das Tvunos, Ramchaim Yivalozhin, Afshachaim, they're focused on not only my clarity in my perception, my moral perception, but what is. Am I doing activities that are totally goodness, or are my activities tend to be a mix of good and not? And a fascinating, it's so beautiful the way he uses this to interpret an agada. An agada that we would probably on our own have learned, said, okay, it means whatever. He says, the Gemara Sanhedrin says, here, take a look in the middle of page Tavches. B'tchila Adam Arishon Mesiv B'Gan Eden Haya. Gemara says, Adam Arishon Kona Mechet, he was relaxing in Gan Eden, B'Heseba, V'Yimalachei Hashari Solin Lo Basar U'Mesanan Lo Yain. Malachim were roasting meat for Adam, and they were filtering the wine for him. So I don't know. I would have learned that Gemara. I said, okay, so it means, I don't know, it's describing, you know, Adam didn't have to work. And Adam had such, it was such enormous pleasure. Says Reb Chaim Fliander, it's so much more than that. It's such a gorgeous metaphor. He says, what happens when you filter wine, right? If you have wine with sediment, that's, yeah, like a French press for coffee, right? So you have the coffee and the grounds are all mixed together. Then you filter it, and now you have pure, drinkable, enjoyable coffee. Right? You put your cold brew through the filter, boom. And now you took out all the psolas, and now you have pure goodness. So that's what the Malachim were doing for Adam. They were presenting him with pure goodness. They filtered the wine for him. And they tzolin lo basar, they roasted the meat. When you roast the meat, all the fat drips off, all the blood drips off. The Malachi Ashares, they were osos ha-malacha avuro. Based on that Nefesh HaChaim. They did all the work for him. Hotzios ha-psolos me'ochel shalo. They gave him, they already, he got it already perfected. Only goodness. It's a yayin kibel naki kol psolos. The wine, free of any sediment. The meat, roasted. Achar shenishovin, adam psolos. All the fat and all the blood, everything else already ran off, dripped off. He was mesiv b'gan eden, a holy pure place, surrounded by pure kedusha. So his work, he had avoda, but it wasn't lahotzi es hara min hatov. Kodem achet, it was just, you're already in a place of goodness, now take it a step further. Add, enhance, further cultivate the goodness. Lalos yoser v'yoser. Oh. And he says, to complete this picture, he says, where was the Yetzirah? External. The nachash haya, interesting terminology, rishus hara. He was rishus, this separate zone. The nachash was this external zone of evil. And other ishin nitzav lishamash lo yikaz tochus ra. You stay where you are. Don't go there. But the ra was all external. It was all out there. Lacharachet Adam eats of the eitz hadas. Now there's a new reality. His chadsha havoda. There's a different avoda now. Lavaris apsolos mitoch ochal. Now the mitzvahs are to the reality. Moral reality is now intermingled. Moral reality, the world as it is now checkered, and it's our work to pull the pistachios out of the shell, to to discover and extract the kedusha from the klipas. That's the difference between the moral clarity of kodem achet and the moral mixedness of the world la'acher achet. The reality is no longer the same as the ideal. Right? Now the reality is checkered, and we have to restore the world. We have to make things ideal. And he goes on to say, Gewalt. He goes on to say, on page Taftes, he says, now let's take this under appreciation of Eitz Hadas, of Adam Kodem Achet versus Adam La'achar Achet, how the spiritual reality, the metaphysics of the world changed from era number one to era number two, from era number one, Adam Kodem Achet, Adam Kadma, where things were clearly defined and delineated, and Kedusha was Kedusha and Tumah was Tumah, versus this post-Adam, post-Chet reality, where things are intermingled. He says, that's the difference between Sheshes and Mehamai, quotes from that Rizal, the difference between Sheshes and Mehamasa and Shabbos. He says, you'll notice a lot of the metaphors he's been using for what our work is la'achar achet, they were melachos, right? He spoke about the klipa and all the steps that a farmer would do to remove the chaff, remove the inedible parts from the wheat. Those are so many of the melachos, zore, borer, merakin, and so forth. The melachos are processing things. See, he says, the avoda, he quotes from that Rizal, the avoda of sheshes mehamasa is levareres apsolos mitocha ochel. The work of the 6 days is to extract the good from that which surrounds it. But b'shabbos kol askenu rak b'kedusha. Shabbos, we're focused on pure kedusha. It's like a Koda, it's like an Adarish and Kodem Acher. What does this mean? During the week, we're involved in Bor or Psalos Mitocha Ochel. I mean, yeah, there's no Isser of Melechas Bor during the week. But he means something more refined, more nuanced than that. How are we Bor Psalos Mitocha Ochel during the week? It says, Ein Melechas Ein Ba Mitzvah. If you think about Lamentas Melechas, they all have mitzvahs associated with them. Mitzvahs which you only do during the week. You want to plow? There are halachas about how to plow. Lo sachash b'shar b'char yachtav. You want to plant? Lo sizra kelayim. V'chein al derech ze b'chol ha-malachos b'sod b'chol drechecha da'ehu. Every malacha has this aspect of b'chol drechecha da'ehu. You have the capacity to connect with Ribbono Shel'olam through all of your physical activities. Physical activity which you do on which days of the week? The 6 days of the week. In other words, what he's saying here is throughout the week, when we are involved in Lamatas Malachas, we have the ability, the focus is on connecting to Kadosh Baruch Hu through physical activity, to finding the spiritual within the physical. In other words, that's the life of Adam La'achar Hachet. There's the reality of things are intermingled, and we need to discover the Kedusha, the nitzotzos, as it were, that are sprinkled all around. Find the mitzvahs, find the avos Hashem potential in every physical activity. That's our focus during Sheshes Mehamasa. Ein lecha melacha she'einena movila dasas Hashem l'skarei b'lav. Every physical activity can be done, and you can find within it potential for connecting to Kadosh Baruch Hu. If you fill it with spiritual content. Yotzeik, if you're poor, tochen ruchni, lesocha, if you fill a physical, a mundane activity, spiritual content, it becomes a vehicle for a connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's during the week, as opposed to on Shabbos. Shabbos, we don't do malacha. Shabbos, we just focus on Kedusha overtly. Like Adam Kodem Achet. That's why Shabbos is referred to as Me'ein Olam Haba. because Shabbos is a little bit of a taste of the avoda of Adam Kodem Achet. During the week, we do live post-chet, and during the week, our focus is on the post-chet type of avoda, the avoda of discovering Kedusha in an intermingled world. Shabbos gives us a chance to, obviously, there still is intermingling of Kedusha and Tumah on Shabbos, but our focus shifts to a little bit more of just focusing on overt Kedusha. Shabbos is focused on the overt Kedusha. It's chasing Mehamasa, the focus is on uncovering the Kedusha potential in mundane things, in Lamates Malachas. And he says, and now let's wrap this all together, that's why the making the Mishkan, the question with which we began, why is it that making the processes of making the Mishkan are the paradigm of what you don't do on Shabbos? What's the connection between Shabbos and Mishkan? So he says, because Mishkan, Mikdash, is the epitome of the sort of work of Sheshizimei HaMasa, the Avoda of Sheshizimei HaMasa. Again, if the Avoda of Shabbos is to like sort of go back to Adam Kodem Achet and just focus on the overt Kedusha, while Sheshizimei HaMasa, the focus is on Adam Acharchet, on uncovering the Kedusha potential that's been sprinkled around with everything else. There's the whole, in other words, finding the Kedusha l'kadeshas hachomer, finding the Kedusha within the physical. There was no better example of finding the Kedusha within the physical than making a Mishkan, making a Mikdash. Because that was the grand irony of Mikdash. I mean, v'asli mikdash v'shachanti b'socham. Hashem says, take physical things, take precious metals, take wood, take leather, take dyes, and you're going to make a house for God? What does it mean? God is not physical. He's not a physical body. He doesn't need a house. The whole idea is so paradoxical that mortal, physical, finite man can use physical building materials and make a house for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's so radically paradoxical. And that was exactly the gift HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Klal Yisrael in Parshas Vayakel. You can do this. That mortal, finite, physical man can do this. And here he says, he quotes a beautiful medrash, Shmos Rabbah. Here he says, he quotes, Lachu Chamrim Gashmiim. Roshom tells the Jewish people to take physical materials, wood, metal, leather, and they, by doing the Lamates Malachos, Zoreya and Choresh and Bona and Mavir and Oreg and so on and so forth, you put invested this for the sake of Os Hashem, Livros Makom Veshchina LaHamos HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to a place that will highlight Hamlachas Hashem. V'kach Amru Chazal, Asisa Krashin LaMishkan. You're going to take wood, you're going to make beams to make walls for a Mishkan. I'm Rabbi Yavin. Rabbi Yavin says, you know what this is like? Let's try to capture what's radical about this idea. Mashalomach, Sha'ilo, Ikunin Noe. Melech has something gorgeous. He says, oh, Amar Ben Beso, Asay Likamos. He says, Eved, make something similar to this. He says, Adonia Melech, Eich Yachol Ani Lasos Kamos. I'm going to make a replica of these royal items? I'm not of that level. You work with your materials, and I'll infuse it with my covet. So yes, he says to his Eved, you're not going to be able to make a work of art that's going to exactly replicate what's on my walls. You're not going to be able to exactly replicate that singular sculpture that I have. Okay, you work with what you have, and I'll infuse it with my royal stamp. It'll also be a royal sculpture. So kach, that's the mashal. Here's the name. Kach amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe. Re'ei va'aseh. You see what I made? You do similar. Amar lefanav. Moshe says, but we ribono ha'olamim. Eloka. Ani. Elokani, am I God? Moshe says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shani Yachol Lasos Keila, I can replicate. You show me a menorah shel esh. How is a human being going to make something similar? He says, don't worry. I'm like a savnisa betchez v'agam etlashani. You're going to make something parallel using physical wool, dyed with different dyes, extracted from different sea creatures. K'shem sha'ataro l'malakach ha'sei l'mata. He says, wow. Now that's practically what Moshe did and what Bezalel and his team did. They were using physical processes and physical materials to replicate spiritual realities. But it's also more than that. This is such poetry because it captures what they were doing. Hashem says, I want you Jewish people to do physical things in a physical universe that will have spiritual meaning. They're like, oh, well, what am I going to do that's worthwhile? No, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, what you do matters. Even though it seems so small. Imtase ka'osa shalmaila lamata? If you will, down below on planet Earth, make something that parallels the spiritual reality in Shamayim, Hashem has a menorah shal esh. You're going to make a menorah shal zav. Ani maniach sankliten shalmaila u'mashe shchinasi b'neich lamata. I'm going to endow what you made with spiritual meaning from above. Wow. And he says, that's how you build a makam for Malchus Shamayim, specifically with physical things. It's taking, to be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is to take physical things, our physical aspects of our lives, and invest them in the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to invest them. That's what it means to be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the greatest example of, we do it all the time. We're supposed to do it all the time every day. But the most grand example is the Beis HaMikdash, is the Mishkan, where you use physical items, physical ingredients, physical processes of construction, lamites malachos, to create something of extraordinary spiritual potential. It's the Mikdash is the greatest success of, yes, we can do this, this post-chet reality. We can use the physical to create something spiritual. We can uncover the spiritual potential in something physical. The Mikdash, the Mishkan, was the greatest success, the greatest symbol of, the greatest exemplar of people succeeding in doing this. Creating spiritual potential, spiritual reality through physical means. That's doing lamates malachas properly. And that's the work of Sheshes and Mehamasa. The grand example is Mikdash. But the little examples are all the time throughout Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Going to work properly. Whether my work is on the farm and I'm avoiding kilayim, I'm avoiding b'charish b'charich hamar yachtav, whether my work is in the operating theater, or my work is on the stage of a dramatic theater, or my work is in the boardroom, my work is in front of a computer, I'm doing that right. I'm doing work that millions of other people do, but I'm doing the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do it. I'm finding the spiritual potential in what otherwise would be mere mundane activity. But it doesn't have to be negative. It's neutral. And I can find the spiritual potential in that mundane physical activity. That too is a mini Mikdash. But you don't make Mikdash on Shabbos. Lamates Malachas is all about this. It's all Lamates Malachas represent physical activities in which I can find spiritual potential if I do them right. That was, the ultimate of that was making Mishkan, making Mikdash. But that's what's all of our 6 days, Sheish Yemei HaMaaseh, are supposed to be full of. Whereas Shabbos is when you don't do Lamates Malachas. Shabbos is when you focus on Adam Kodem Achet. We're not going to focus on Shabbos on doing the physical activities, the Lamates Malachas, and finding the spiritual potential within them, doing them right spiritually. Shabbos is when we go to Adam Kodem Achet, Me'en Olam Haba, and we say, let's focus on the overtly spiritual. Let's put aside the Lamates Malachas. And so now, Shabbos, Mishkan, Eitz Hadas, that trio of ideas all come together. And we see now two modes in Avos Hashem. There's the mode of just focusing on the overt Kedusha. That was Adam Kodem Achet. And even nowadays, that's highlighted on Shabbos. But then, Adam L'Achar Achet, the focus primarily is on, we live in a physical world. We live in a world where the physical and spiritual are intermingled, and not identically, but also true that good and evil are intermingled. So we're meant to, we can do physical things well or poorly, depending on whether we highlight the spiritual core within those physical activities. That's not the primary work of Shabbos. That is the primary work of Sheshem Emasa, exemplified most in Mikdash. Meher Yibane HaMikdash means we hope to come back soon to a point where it will be so obvious and clear that that's how a Jew lives. That's how a human being lives. Finding the spiritual in every physical activity rather than letting the rest of it, you know, cover the Kedusha and distract us and send us into a different direction. Mikdash represents the ultimate, the apex of finding the Kedusha in every, in where it's hidden. Pulling away the klipos and finding the Kedusha within. Doing lamates malachas properly. Mehem yirbana mikdash, we talk should be zoche, says this sort of clarity. And as I, to end where I began, the more sensitive we are to what Mikdash represents as the ultimate of this and how it needs to happen all the time, you know, the fact that we struggle with this, the fact that it's not so easy to do Lamatas Malachas right during the week, the fact that we often have deep nisyonos in am I going to be engaged in these activities, mundane activities, properly or improperly, Kafi Ratzon Hashem or Shalom Kafi Ratzon Hashem, that's the lack of Mikdash. And that's where we miss Abel on, that it is very difficult without a Mikdash to know how to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the physical world. So these are some of the ideas that a Shabbos can highlight, that the 3 weeks can highlight. We should be Zoche, that this should all become increasingly clear. Chevra, thank you so much.